Joining us now on the Revel Wireless Hotline is Rob Rang from CBSSports.com, their draft expert. Rob, I know it's intense now as we get down to these final few days before the draft. Wanted to start again with your Browns thoughts. And in your latest mock draft, you have the Browns taking Deion Jordan from Oregon. I like that pick for them.
Well, I just think that he's likely to be available. I know that there are a lot of people out there who believe that he's going to go number two overall to Jacksonville Jaguars, and frankly, I think that that's a possibility. But to me, what Deion Jordan does so extraordinarily well is the versatility that he brings, his ability to rush the passer, to drop back in coverage, and do things of that nature. Now, as a potential 3-4 rush linebacker with Cleveland or another club, he would be asked to do exactly those types of things. But as a 4-3 defensive end, even as the so-called Leo defensive end in Gus Bradley's defense with the Jaguars, then he would almost strictly be asked to rush the passer. And I think that you're robbing him of what makes him a special player. So I don't think that's going to happen. I think there's a possibility that he drops a little bit farther down the board because there's going to be a number of clubs most likely going after those offensive tackles. And so if he is available to Cleveland at number six, I think they're going to have an interesting dilemma on their hands because if D. Milner is there, I think he's also a terrific player. I personally have him as a higher-rated prospect. And then possibility of a quarterback as well, Geno Smith, if he is available, will make for a little bit of an interesting decision for those the decision-makers in Cleveland.
All right, a couple of thoughts on those two players you just mentioned, D. Milner and Geno Smith. Let's start with Milner, because some of your colleagues, I would say probably most of your colleagues at CBSSports.com, do think the Browns go with D. Milner at six. In any possible way, is the fact that the reports that that torn labrum that he had repaired surgically after the combine, and reports that he wouldn't be ready to take the field until would probably miss the training camp or at least the start of training camp for whatever team picks him. Is that a concern? Is that a problem for you?
Not for me. And the reason why it's not is I literally had phone calls in the last several days with the doctors and the high-ranking sources for clubs that I feel most confident in. And these are guys that I've been working with for the last 10 years. And to a man, everybody seemed to be completely confident in D. Miller's ability to recover from this surgery in plenty of time to take part at least in most of training camp and certainly be ready to rock and roll by the beginning of the NFL season. D. Milner is an incredibly tough player. That is, to me, one of the things that makes him a dynamic player. And so I really think that that if he is indeed the highest-rated player on the board, at, you know, whatever point a team is picking, then I think that he's got to be the pick. I don't believe that there's going to be the medical concerns that are going to drop him as some are projecting.
And for the record, Deion Jordan, who you have the Browns picking, he too had shoulder surgery, and I think the report on him is that he would be ready by the start of training camp, correct?
Yes, that's everything I've been hearing as well. Although, you know, that's one of the interesting things is that we sometimes portray D. Milner as this injury-prone guy because he just underwent surgery, and as you just mentioned. You know, Deion Jordan went through the same procedure. He has also been, you know, had a little bit more durability concerns throughout his collegiate career. So, frankly, between the two of them, if medical questions are the concern, frankly, I'm a little bit more concerned about Deion Jordan than D. Milner just because of the fact that this has been something that has been kind of a recurring issue, but durability has been an issue with Deion Jordan throughout his time at Oregon.
We know that teams generally approach each pick with the idea of a cluster of players and ranking them accordingly to be ready for any scenario. So they can always say accurately, hey, we wanted this guy, right? You know, if that guy was there and available, I guess is always the given. So in the case of the Browns at number six, again, I would think the list isn't, well, it could be as long as you want it to be. But I guess my question is, How would you narrow it down? We're using Jordan and Milner as two names. Now let's throw in the possibility of Geno Smith and that he could be a real consideration for the Browns. Beyond those three guys, is there anyone else? And let's talk about that Smith scenario as well, because that would be the wild card. I guess that would be the one that maybe would have a lot of people just buzzing about this entire draft.
No, absolutely. I think Geno Smith is the most fascinating player in this draft class in terms of just where he's going to go and You know, I think it's going to make things interesting on draft day. He is going to be there in New York, and so you know, I'm sure the cameras will be on him. And it's good. I mean, there's just you can see reasons, physically speaking, why he should, why he warrants top 10 consideration. You can see that when you really start looking at it through the NFL landscape, there's not that many clubs that feel or look like, at least on the surface, that they are going to be willing to roll the dice on a quarterback who frankly struggled during the second half of his senior campaign and elected not to compete in the Senior Bowl or things of that nature. So, you know, I think he's going to be a fascinating, you know, case study to see where teams are going to ultimately slot him in this draft. Now, in Cleveland specifically, I think that he would make some sense because, again, he does have the physical abilities that you're looking for. I have no question about his work ethic or his intelligence. Nobody that I've spoken to on or off the record has led me to believe that there are any concerns that they had about his work ethic. My biggest concern about Geno Smith from a football perspective is very much on the field rather than off of it. I just saw a lack of anticipation for a guy that had as many starts as he did throughout his collegiate career. He was a player that at times just simply wouldn't throw the football when his receivers were covered rather than getting creative and forcing him there. I would just like to see him make the play happen, and I didn't see the willingness to do so, which is one of the reasons why he didn't throw very many interceptions, but also one of the reasons why West Virginia wasn't nearly as explosive down the down throughout the rest of the regular season and in the bowl game itself. As they have been earlier in the year once defenses started adjusting and playing a little bit more press coverage. So he has the arm strength. He has the athletic ability. I think in Cleveland makes some sense because you obviously already have a great deal of skill position talent, a wide receiver and running back to protect him and an offensive line as well. So to me, it's an ideal situation for any young quarterback, but that includes the incumbent starting quarterback, Brendan Whedon, as well. So, to me, Geno Smith in Cleveland is a possibility just because of the fact that there is a new regime in there. But at the same time, I really think that he is a guy that if he doesn't go to Cleveland or perhaps the New York Jets at 9 or 13, then we could see him make a significant tumble down the board.
We're talking with Rob Rang, the draft analyst for CBSSports.com, and he's joining us on the Revel Wireless Hotline. And, yeah, you just brought up the Jets at 13 now. They have that pick after trading Darrelle Revis to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And for the record, on your latest mock, you do have Geno Smith going to the Jets at that spot. And I think there is some sensibility there. And also to this thought that if Geno Smith gets past, say, Buffalo at 8, and the Bills have a quarterback need, and there's a lot of speculation that maybe they would draft Ryan Nassib, the Syracuse quarterback, to be reunited with his former Syracuse coach, Doug Marrone, now the head coach of the Bills. You know, there's a lot of sensibility to that. But to see him, if that doesn't happen there, if a Geno Smith doesn't end up in Buffalo, the drop in the eyes of some people could be significant. You have him landing at 13, which I think would be a nice spot for him, but I'm hearing that if he doesn't land at 8, the drop could be really substantial.
No, absolutely could. I mean, we saw this happen. Everybody likes to talk about Aaron Rodgers and Brady Quinn, but those are two players, of course, who wound up going in the first round. I think the more apt comparison could be Jimmy Clausen, who, you know, a lot of people, myself included, considered him to be a potential top five prospect just because of all the hype that he had generated throughout his career at Notre Dame, and they wound up going the second round to the Carolina Panthers, of course. So, Geno Smith has all the physical abilities you're looking for, but at the same time, again, because of the fact that he struggled down the stretch and elected not to participate in the Senior Bowl, to me, that was a real red flag for a number of clubs, or at least it was for me. And so I have him as the number 17th rated prospect in this year's draft class, and that is the lowest I've ever had my number one rated quarterback in any draft, and I've been doing this since 2001 for the Sports Exchange. So, right off the bat, that's kind of giving you an indication of where I think that he should go in this year's draft class. I certainly do not consider him to be a top 10 lock like he's been portrayed as. At the same time, I'd also argue that the quarterback who I have ran right behind him, number 18th overall, and very much in contention, I believe, for the first round is USC's Matt Barkley. And I'm much higher on Barkley than a lot of people are. I was much higher on Russell Wilson a couple of years ago than a lot of people were. And when this happens, Vic, I'm telling you right now, when Matt Barkley is among the top 33 players drafted, and I'm saying 33 because that's where I have him currently projected, the first pick of the second round to the Jacksonville Jaguars, where he winds up being the most successful quarterback of this draft class, and you'll know who told you first.
Absolutely. I would expect nothing less. Some other interesting names that would be under consideration on the defensive side for the Browns, Barkevious Mingo, outside linebacker for LSU, gets a lot of high marks from people. We hear the name of Ezekiel Ansah, Ziggy Ansah from Brigham Young, as a possibility, again, who could be converted to outside linebacker. Are those two names still pretty solid in your book?
Oh, absolutely. I think that both those two players are top 10 considerations just about regardless of the scheme, and that's one of the things I like most about them. Barkevious Mingo and Ziggy Ansah both played primarily defensive end. Mingo is portrayed as the more versatile player because he is such an incredible athlete and a guy that a lot of people seem to be really, really excited about his ability to convert to a 3-4 rush linebacker, obviously, which would be the case with Cleveland or perhaps with the Jets or the Saints, the three most likely scenario landing spots, in my opinion, for him. At the same time, I believe that the Tennessee Titans are the number 10 overall pick, like him a lot as well, and they use a more of a predominantly 4-3 system. But because of the fact that they have added the former Saints defensive coordinator, Rams defensive coordinator Greg Williams, and he's a highly aggressive blitz caller and things of that nature, that perhaps they would look like him as a bit of a stand-up defensive end, do some hybrid things with him. Mingo is an exciting player. At the same time, my biggest concern about him is for all the athletic ability that he has in terms of straight line, in terms of fluidity and things like that, I just didn't see him make enough big plays. And so it's like he doesn't actually make the play. He's in position to make the play, but then he doesn't close quite as quickly as you might expect. And so that's where I have a little bit of a concern about him and why, frankly, I don't see him as one of the best available players to Cleveland. I think that he would be a candidate if the Browns were able to successfully trade out of that number six spot, which I think that they're certainly going to try to do, just to try and recruit that second-round pick that they had lost a year ago on the supplemental draft with the receiver. So he makes some sense. I'm very high on Ziggy Ansah. I think that he is a terrific player. There's been all this talk that he is older and things of that nature. I've looked at his at some of his private information. I'll just leave it at that. And he is a guy that he says he's 23 years old, and I have every reason to believe that that is true. I know that information has been circulated with NFL teams. He is a guy that I would argue is actually the more versatile player. Not only played as a traditional 4-3 defensive end, but also was dropped back into coverage as a linebacker, even played nose guard at times, was moved all around the field for BYU. Obviously, he comes in the league a very, very raw player. But at the same time, I saw a player who got better every single week throughout the college season. It wasn't very impressive during the week of practice itself, but it was dominant during the Senior Bowl. Game itself was obviously the game's MVP on the defensive side of the ball. So I think this is just a reflection of the fact that he may not have understood the fact that, hey, when it comes to the Senior Bowl, the week of practice is actually more important to scouts. But everything that he has been taught for the last year is that it's all about game day, all about game day. So it, to me, it's absolutely predictable that his best performance would have been on a Saturday rather than on a random Tuesday or Wednesday, or at least random in his mind, perhaps. So I think he's a top 10 prospect. I would not be surprised at all to see him actually go a little bit earlier than Cleveland, perhaps even as high as the Detroit Lions, number 5. Of course, they coached him at the Senior Bowl. They're going to know him best.
Rob, thank you so much for the knowledge, and we look forward to catching up with you after the draft.
Always a pleasure, Vic. Thanks for having me.
All right. He is Rob Rang, draft analyst for CBSSports.com, the Sports Exchange as well. Check out his great work there. Joining us on the Revel Wireless Hotline here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We've got much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.